Yeah.
We're on. Fantastic.
So my first question is, so what were your impressions of Westminster when you were a people?
I suppose I remember probably quite a similar experience to you now. It's a busy place. So I just remember being busy the whole time. which is actually, I think, quite a good thing. I think if you're not busy here, then probably you're missing opportunities. For me, obviously work, because you're not going to get through a school like this and certainly not enjoy it unless you're working hard. But with sport, with music, with art, so all sorts of things going on that just kept me very, very busy. So I think my abiding memory of it is just being really busy the whole time in a nice way. What else? I think it's competitive as an environment, but I also think it's supportive, and most of the time that balance has got right. I think it was intellectually intimidating, that's probably too strong, but it's intellectually very impressive. I thought it was socially quite divided, cliques, which I'm sure is a natural product of people being aged 13 to 18 in the school, but I do remember it as being that.
Was it a much more intimidating social atmosphere through the years?
Yeah, it's one of the things. I mean, I know you're going to ask me a bit more about perspectives, but I think it's tricky. I find it very difficult to judge that, because I now look at the school as a pretty grounded, pretty self-confident adult, whereas I'm trying to remember what looking at the school was like as a adolescent trying to work out who the hell I was. And I think those two sets of spectacles are completely different. So, you know, I think as a teenager, you probably notice things like social division and cliques much, much more than you do as an adult and a teacher, partly because of your own sort of sense of self, but also because, of course, I don't spend my time hanging around in yard and being invited or not to parties, fortunately. That's not a plug for an invite, by the way, folks. But so I think it's tricky. But I mean, my memories of it as a student were that there were very clear divisions socially within year groups, and not much mingling actually across them. That's my memory of it.
I'd just like to ask you: do you think that actually increased as you got progressive years?
Or what increased?
These, like, social divisions, as you say.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there are points in the school where things change. I mean, when everyone arrives, there's always the, you know, how many people are from the underschool routine, and so social, the sort of settling of it socially there. Then I think, again, in the sixth form, when all the new students arrive, mostly girls, that, again, shifts and changes things. So I think there's a point in the middle of the school where people's social groupings do tend to go through some sort of transition. I don't remember the school being more or less divided at different points. I suspect that probably the increased year group size and the arrival of all the girls in the sixth form probably has an impact there. But I mean, my friends were the same friends pretty much the whole way through. So I don't remember my experience of it being something that dramatically shifted as I went through.
You're someone who stayed in touch with your old friends from Westminster?
Surprisingly few. I've found that a great way of avoiding people out at school with is to work here. I think I've got one very close friend from school who I still see regularly, and by that what I mean is probably every couple of weeks. One or two other friends from school who I might see a couple of times a year. And there are one or two old Westminsters who actually weren't in my year group, but I've become very good friends with, who are music teachers here, who come back in, and so I see them quite a lot. But that's partly a function of them being, having a relationship with this place still. So I don't have a sort of social circle of people I was at school with, but I have one or two close friends who I still see who were, yeah.
What personally as a pupil did you sort of most enjoy and what you were most involved in?
I enjoyed being here. I wouldn't be here now if I had a negative experience of being at school, but when I look back, and it's strange, when I don't look back and see my academic work as the thing that drove me through the school. It's a bit strange. When I did work, I enjoyed it, and I did pretty well, but I don't look back and see that as what defined me. I look back and actually it's things like art, it's things like sport, those are things I think I remember, possibly because they're the things I don't do as much of now. And A, I'm old and slow and broken, and so I can't play sport like I used to, but also I don't have the time to do things like art and music in a way that I did, whereas I do still spend a lot of time thinking about history and thinking about academic stuff. So I suspect that my memories of what I really liked doing at school are partly filtered through the things I don't really do so much of now. It's nostalgic. But I mean, those are things I really loved.
When you were in the sixth form, I believe you were participating in FAB?
Yes.
And what was your experience of that, and how do you think the experience of it now have actually changed, and what the differences from then, and what was it like? What's it like now?
Yeah, I'm really pleased that this has seeped into the questions. I saw it there. I'm going to make a quite bold statement. For me, FAB was the single most influential experience of my entire time at this school, without a shadow of a doubt. It wasn't something I was doing the whole way through. Obviously, I did it in the end twice. I did it as a sixth form, and I did it as a removed student who just left. I don't think I realised what an impact it had on me then, actually. I think as time has passed, and certainly since I've come back here as a teacher, I now realise just how big an impact that had on me as a person. You ask me sort of how it's changed. I think there are some really important things about FAB that haven't changed a bit. And that's, I suppose, the sort of soul of it. It was started in the 1970s by Willie Booth, who was chaplain here. And there was a sort of atmosphere of inclusion, of people moving out of their comfort zones, of fun, of this mixture of enormous fun with immense responsibility, which is a sort of combination that I don't think happens very often for people at school age. I still don't think it does. That combination is very powerful to give people massive responsibility in a context where they're having enormous fun. What's changed, that atmosphere and that sense of it, I think is absolutely still there. 35 years later, and I think it's crucial. What's changed, I think the size of it and the profile of it has changed. The reason I was able to do it twice is because there weren't enough students in the school volunteering. You look at the sort of FAB photos from 1991, 1992, and you've probably got about 20 sixth formers and removes combined doing it. Now there are 70 or just sixth formers applying to do it. The size of it and the profile of it in the school has changed radically. And that happened before I started running, and I think it was David Hargreaves who was key to that. When he ran it, it became something that lots of people wanted to do. I think that's a really important shift and a legacy of his. If I look at what happened to FAB when I ran it, my feeling is, I suppose looking back, there were two things really. I'd like to think that whilst I ran it, I preserved what Willie and David had done. But the two things that were new and that needed to happen were to give it a permanence, a stability, to give it a sort of health and safety clearance, all that sort of modern context of fears over this, that and the other. FAB was threatened by that, genuinely and seriously. And I think, I feel that what I left was something that was stable in those terms. And the other thing was financial stability. And when I started running Fab, people had to pay to be on it. I mean, it wasn't much. It was £150, which what you're getting is nothing. But some of the guests who come struggle to afford that. And Fab is now financially in a position where it's possible to run it for free or for just a token administrative fee for the foreseeable future. And that was beginning to happen 3 or 4 years ago. So I think it has changed. It's much more stable financially and in terms of relationship with the school. It's much bigger, but it hasn't lost its ethos and its mood, which is the most precious thing about it. And that goes right back to Willie when he set it up.
Why do you think there's been an expansion in the size of Fab and the willingness of people to take part in it?
Good question. I don't know. I could dodge the question, I suppose, by saying it happened in between when I left as a pupil and came back as a teacher. But that's not good enough. I think things like this develop a sort of momentum in a school. I think a lot of credit must go to Greavesy for the way that he clearly very energetically marketed it and advocated it to sixth formers. Once that breakthrough's happened, I think it then develops some momentum. When I ran it, I didn't ask people in application forms to say why they wanted to do it. You didn't have to sell it, because word of mouth was something that is as good as this and enjoyable as this, you don't need to sell. And I always felt that, you know, sixth formers talk to removes, and it became something people just felt they wanted to do. Are there other dimensions to it? I don't know. There are cynical areas. I think there are some people who probably apply to it because they are more UCAS sensitive than they were 20 years ago. Things to put on forms. That's the reason I never ask people to write why they want to come on it. I've always been deeply hostile privately to the idea that people do things like this for UCAS reasons. Don't get me ranting about that. So I think that might stimulate people to volunteer, but I think the experience of it completely obliterates that motivation. People come out the other side having had an incredible experience, and that's how they then talk about it to other people. So I don't mind why people do it in the first place, and I don't mind if people are wanting to do it for strategic reasons, actually. I just don't want to tell them that. because what I know is that the experience of doing it makes those things less important than actually what you really get from it. So, yeah, all sorts of reasons, I think, why it grew, but I'm just delighted it did.
So, how do you think that Westminster as a school changed between your time as a pupil and your time as a pupil as a teacher here?
Yes. Well, I thought I was still a pupil for a minute, although I do feel like I'm being grilled. Maybe I am. Anyway. I think a fair amount. Again, as I said already, but I think it's hard to make an objective assessment of that because I'm looking at it through these two very different sets of eyes. I think I think there are things that have changed. Again, subjective. I think the school now is better, by and large, at supporting Westminster pupils who are slightly weaker than others academically. My recollection of the school, it may be completely unfair, is that friends of mine at school who struggled compared to others probably weren't supported all the time and by everybody quite in the same way. I think the school is better at that. I don't think it's ever, no, that we're perfect on this, but I think there has been a positive effort to try and ensure that happens. I feel slightly uneasy saying that because I'm not sure whether that's really true, but I feel that's the case. I think the school does a lot more in terms of outreach and charity work than it did when I was here as a student. I mean, you look at what Abbey Cave Bigley has achieved with outreach over the last year or two now, and it's staggering and it's brilliant. So if you could apply the same questions over motivation for that, we talked about fab, but I don't care. I mean, it's just a good thing. I mean, it's brilliant. And there certainly wasn't that sense of community engagement I felt. I don't remember it being there as a student. The school, in terms of facilities, is much better. When I was here, the Robert Hooke Science Centre was brand new. That was the sort of jewel in the crown. So that was new when I was in the fifth form. And the Queen came and said hello and walked around it and didn't look down my microscope. But we didn't have the Manukian. We didn't have the Millicent Fawcett. We didn't have the Western Building. We certainly didn't have Lawrence Hall. So all sorts of parts of this school, in terms of facilities, a huge amount of progress has been made there. I mean, the school has increased in numbers since then as well. But I think there are things really that have changed. And all those, I suppose, are structural things. Has it changed in terms of its mood or ethos? Very difficult to tell. I think this school still positions itself as a school that promotes and supports individuality. And I think it does that successfully. I think the school still, just as it did then, occasionally gets that confused with indulging people being rude. Or, I mean, you can promote in some individuality, or you can indulge people who are... Anyway, I think that's a line that sometimes is blurred. But again, I can get it right most of the time, and I think we did that as well. So I think there's a lot of continuity here. I think the school still is trying to do the right things for the people in it. But the facilities are bigger. The bureaucracy's got more, but then you probably don't notice that as a student.
I think you should maybe probably do a little bit. But I mean, do you think, of course, it's more important and it's really good to be supporting all the kids more equally at school now and so on and so forth, but do you think the school has lost at all the sense that it used to be called sort of university school, in that you were pushed out there on your own and you had to sort of be self-reliant, self-motivated?
Yeah, I think that's true. There's sort of... I think you can be nostalgic about Sink or Swim to some level, which maybe cuts with some things I'm saying. I mean, if the school now creates very strong safety nets for people, it is the flip side of that, the fact that we aren't actually encouraging people to take real responsibility. I think that's a really good question, and I do sometimes question that. I do, with the internet now, the capacity for communication between teachers and students, home and school, is so much greater. I mean, there was no internet when I think I might have seen a computer, but I mean, the capacity for communication, for information, and therefore also for nagging or reminding or anything. I mean, it's a completely different world. And I think, yeah, maybe there's a sense now in which we're so keen to provide safety nets and support and avoid recrimination for not providing safety nets and support, that we don't make people take responsibility in the same way. I think that's a really valid point. Difficult to test and judge, but I do think that might be something that's worth exploring. Yeah, I'm going to think more about that.
you also said that the numbers of people in the school increased. How do you think this has changed how the school is run, what it's actually like? Do you think it has?
I'm sure it has, although it's very hard to quantify how. I don't remember class sizes being different. There are positive impacts in terms of more people potentially for sports teams or concerts or dramatic performance. So I think in the creative and extracurricular dimension of the school, if you're bringing more people in, the vast majority of whom are highly talented, you can you can do greater things. I mean, there's no way the school 20 years ago would have been performing at the Barbican. there wasn't the pupil and parent base to do that. We did some pretty good concerts, but I don't remember anything like that being on the agenda. So I think there are positives there. I suppose it does create space on pressure, most obviously through my eyes in terms of station. I think having to find space for everyone to do station is a problem. I mean, having been involved in several different stations, I know this. Hopefully the new sports hall might alleviate some of that pressure, but we're in the middle of London. What this school doesn't have is large space. We can accommodate people in classrooms, absolutely, but we now can't fit everyone up school for Latin prayers. We have to go to St John Smith Square for a whole school event because it's the only place, and we don't own it, where the whole school can be at the same time. And station times are, in a lot of stations, are staggered and bitty to try and get everyone in. So I think there are real implications there. I don't think it's had an impact on the academic side of the school. But I think in extracurricular terms, I think there are mixed benefits of the size change.
How has your sort of perspective changed? And do you think this is... Do you prefer your new perspective as a teacher or as a pupil?
It's totally different. I have to obey all the rules now. I find that very difficult. I mean, I enjoy both. What do I enjoy more? I enjoy what I'm doing now more because it's something that currently interests me and stimulates me. I'm decision making, I'm problem solving, I'm doing things that are interesting me now as a teacher, so it feels much more exciting. Flip side, I suppose, I also am very conscious of the dull, nitty-gritty bureaucracy and the rest of it of being a teacher, and I can be immensely nostalgic about all the things I did at school as a pupil and all the things I got away with at school as a pupil or whatever it is. So I find it very difficult to measure those. I think they're separate experiences, actually, for me. I had no intention of coming back here after I left. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I had, coming back as a teacher. If someone had said that to me when I was 18, I would have phoned the men in white coats and taken them away. So I think for me, they're not different lives. That would be, to deny a link between them, I think, would be probably far-fetched. But I really do see them as sort of different parts of my life, both of which have been very enjoyable.
What will you miss most when you leave?
I'll miss a lot of things. I mean, I'm not leaving here because I don't like it. I do really like being here, so I think I'll miss a lot. I will miss colleagues. I think the Westminster Common Room is an absolute goldmine of people with bizarre interests, fascinations, knowledge. People don't spend enough time talking about what they're interested in. We spend a lot of time wondering, asking each other to chase someone for homework or whatever. But I think that there's a sort of banter or stimulus there, which I'm sure I will miss. I mean, I'm sure it'll be present wherever I go, but I think it's pretty special here. I'll miss people as students as well. I'm not very attached to places and buildings, which is bizarre being a historian. I don't think I'll miss being in Westminster Abbey or being in a medieval courtyard. Maybe I will, but I'm much more motivated and interested in people and relationships and interaction than in buildings and places. So I think what I will miss is the people, the students, the atmosphere of the house. Plug for Ashburnham in there, but genuinely, I will miss it because it's great. So I think what I will miss will be interactions with people here, pupil body, staff body, and the community, not so much actually the facilities or the site, the grandeur of Westminster School. It's never been something which I've been wowed by, I suppose. That's a terrible thing to say as a historian. We delete that. but I think that's what I'll miss. I think I will also, I suspect I'm going to miss the extracurricular stuff as well. I mean, we had the house concert last week, which was mind-blowing in terms of the talent that was there. I think I will miss the fact that, despite this being a self-conscious academic school, the sort of extracurricular talents and abilities that are here, probably more so, I would have thought, in maybe in music than in other areas. But it does happen in sport, and it does happen in drama as well. I think those are things which I think people can take for granted here. And they're fantastic. I mean, before I was a housemaster, I went to far fewer concerts and events and plays. Must go and support the troops. But you go and it's like, well, wow, these things are amazing. So I think I will miss that. It comes partly from it being a semi-boarding community, but it's also about the talent that's here. So yeah, it's people I'm going to miss rather than place, I think.
So tell us a bit more about what's next.
What's next? Yes, what's next is extremely exciting. There's a lot about it which is unknown. I feel similarly about it than I used to feel about Fab in an odd sort of way. It's something which is going to take me out of my comfort zone, but is going to be something which I really believe in. I suppose I better tell you what it is, haven't I? I've talked to people who know, but whoever's listening, hello. Might not. So I'm about to go and be the deputy headmaster of something called the London Academy of Excellence, which is a sixth form, a free school sixth form college being set up in Stratford, in Newham. So it's brand new. Nothing's existed before. We're making the school. The idea behind the school is to try and provide the sort of sixth form educational environment which can help students from the poorest and most deprived backgrounds in London make strong applications to top universities. So that's the idea. Why there? Well, it's an extremely deprived borough in London, and 47% of 16 to 19 year olds living in that borough are currently having sixth form education outside of it, so there's a paucity of sixth form schooling that's local. So we're not plonking a school somewhere where everyone's already got a school and stealing their best kids, despite what some people think. We're trying to provide, I think, a choice for people there who are very ambitious but don't have the financial or material ability to either travel far or go to schools like Westminster. So it's ambitious, but it's something that's hugely exciting, and could make a real difference in terms of social mobility. So I'm very excited about it, and I suppose, you know, no one's ever done this before, not in this way. So if it works, it's something that could be replicated elsewhere. If it doesn't work, I'll learn an awful lot. but I think it will. And if you say to anyone in any profession, once you've done it for a long time, how about you start up your own school? I mean, I don't think I'll ever get an opportunity again to be involved in actually creating a school, establishing what it's trying to achieve, how to run it. I mean, I suppose that's what's really drawn me to this now. I would have been quite happy to stay here and carry on promoting Ashburnham and to be with it for many years to come, but this may well never happen again, which is why I've had this tricky choice to make. So I hope you come and visit.
Of course. You need to be a bit of a disciplinarian.
I mean, deputy head roles are varied, but absolutely. I mean, I'm going to be involved in defining and establishing the day-to-day tone of the school. I think that the stereotype for deputy heads, I mean, the way Westminster's management structures go, the deputy head is primarily associated with discipline. Most students' experience of interaction with the undermaster is generally when they've been in trouble. I don't want my role to be one of primarily having a relationship with students when they've done bad things. We're trying to set the school up in a way that isn't the case. Because I think there are other ways of doing it. If you have the personnel, the size of school, which I think we will, it's not a criticism of the role here. I think that's the way that role is developed and it works. But I don't envy being in a position where your primary contact with students is a disciplinary one, when in fact you're not someone who is hell-bent on being a disciplinarian by personality. If needs be, I'm going to be the person having those conversations and not taking nonsense. But I hope there'll be other things to it as well. Well, there will be.
Yeah, I just like to ask you finally, what will you be most proud of when you leave Westminster? I mean, either as a pupil or
as a teacher.
Yeah.
Very tricky. I suppose if I look back to being a student here, I suppose it's not really the academics that I look back and go, yeah, I'm proud of that, which is crazy because I ought to be, and I am, but it's the things I know I couldn't do again. I played the French horn with the school orchestra, the first movement of Mozart's third horn concerto. I'll never be able to do that again. I almost did it okay as well. I have some very split notes in the cadenza, but never mind. I won an art prize when I was in the fifth form. I won the Funaki art prize at one point. That was brilliant, and I'll never be able to do that again. Not least because I'm not eligible. I represented the school in four different sports, which I think is a pretty decent achievement. And I'll never be able to do that again because I'm old and broken, as I said earlier. So there are things that, you know, I did while I was here that I'm really proud of. That's probably when I look back. When I've talked about FAB, and that, I think, in a way, it almost stands out, you know, as a separate experience. I don't really see it as part of it. I mean, it's weird. I think my relationship with FAB is extremely emotional. So I kind of don't really see it as something I did as a pupil. It's just part of me. It's a community I'm part of. As a teacher, I'm really...
It doesn't have to be an Ashburnham thing.
I was about to say that. That's going to sound like I'm saying it just because. Rewind. I am genuinely really proud of what's happened to Ashburnham over the last 3 years. It was already a great house, but I think that collectively what the people in this house have achieved in terms of its profile, in terms of its atmosphere, over the last 3 years is something I'm enormously proud of. You can look at little things like the Ash Tree, like house concerts and plays, things that maybe weren't there or weren't common before, but I think they're just symptoms of a group of people who have become a community and have become an identity and a good one. I look back and what we did with that charity scheme with the charity journeys, and I'm going to say this and put it on record, but 10 houses in the school, and Ashburnham raised over half, maybe two-thirds of the entire school amount on that. I mean, that's a staggering achievement. I mean, stag off the other houses, come on. but, you know, that was, as a collective achievement, it was incredible. I'm really proud of that. The house is great. FAB, absolutely. I'm get very emotional if I talk about that for too much longer. but I'm really proud of that. I mean, I couldn't have stopped running Fab until I knew it was stable and secure. And I really believe that now. And I'm delighted it's been taken on. Other people's ideas have been put into it. And,
who's taking over?
Well, Mr. Bulldog's been running it for the last couple of years. And the big thing that needed to happen, I was, again, too embedded into my friendships with all of the guests who've been year on year on year, was not becoming a problem. But Fab has to have turnover. New people have to be able to experience that. And it would have been very difficult for me to say to friends I've had for 20 years, you can't come anymore. So that's something, I think, which I'm really proud of that. And indeed everybody who participates in it. I'm proud of the teaching here. I really have enjoyed classes, groups, things I've taught. It's loads. I'm not going to look back on being here and see anything there that I'm not proud of, but there are things that stand out.
Should we ask some more casual questions off the archive record? If you have time.
Yes, yeah. I've got to be in a housemaster's meeting in 12 minutes.
I'll be very quick.
But I'm more than happy to talk, to shoot the breeze until that point in time. Thank you very much. Before we turn that thing off, it's been most enjoyable.
And we'd like to thank you, your pupils.
Mr. William Kitchen and Mr. Stratus Linyos.